Thank you very much. I'm going to address the issue of weeds in Africa and our view that, based on a study we've recently done, that increasing crop production, improving the lives of women, absolutely dependent on solving the weed problem. Just to remind ourselves what weeds do, in this picture of maize in Africa, you can see some rows of maize plants sort of overwhelmed by a sea of grass. You're looking at maybe 90% reduction in yield as a result of the weeds getting the nutrients, the space, and sunlight from the plants. We've known for some time that African crop yields can be a lot higher than they are. On experimental plots over the years, researchers will get 8 tons of maize per hectare, whereas the average farmer will get 1 ton. Experimental plots will show 4 tons of rice per hectare. The average farmer will get 1 ton. So clearly there's a disconnect between what goes on in the experimental plots and what gets translated out into the fields. And what we're arguing is that its weed control forms a big part of this lack of achieving the top yields. How do you get optimal yields on experimental plots? Well, everything is done exactly at the right time. A lot of students, perhaps grad students, planting at the right time, weeding at the right time, fertilizing at the right time, using all these inputs in an optimal fashion on experimental plots to demonstrate the potential of the technologies and the seeds that are available. So again, there's a disconnect between these experimental plots and what goes on in the field. So when do weeds need to be removed from fields in Africa? Well, certainly before planting. So here in this photo, we have a couple of maize fields, and there in the middle, there's a weedy field. And so if the farmer wants to plant that field to a crop, the weeds need to be removed. And this is the way that weeds are removed from fields in Africa before planting. You have women and children with hand tools going over the fields. About 60 hours a hectare are required to remove the weeds from the field before the field can be planted. Weeds also need to be removed during the growing season to achieve these optimal yields. So again, in this field of maize, we have a lot of weedy plants growing between the rows, and if they're not controlled during the growing season, you're looking at 30 to 40% yield loss. And this is the way that weeds are controlled during the growing season in Africa. Again, women and children hand weeding, in this case a rice field, a woman with a baby strapped to her back. Half of the time that African farmers spend in their farming operations is spent weeding. A lot of kids leaving farming simply do not want this, this drudgery. And it's increasingly women who are doing the weeding. A study in Nigeria revealed recently that for most crops, you're looking at well above 90% of the weeding being done by women with these tools. Now, one thing I can tell you about the health effects of hand weeding is that they permanently destroy women's backs. You see these women bent almost in half. To hand weed 1 hectare of cropland, a woman walks 10 kilometers in this stoop position. And again, it's drudgery, it's very, very unhealthy work. And a lot of hand weeding has to be done. These are some estimates that Okizie Akubundo put together, again, based on all those experimental plots. These experiments have been going on since the 1960s. How much hand weeding do you have to do? Well, if you want to get optimal yields out of your maize, you better be prepared to do 276 hours of hand weeding. Cassava, 270. Groundnuts, 378 hours. This is what they learn on the experimental plots. You have to put a lot of time into hand weeding your fields. And oh, by the way, you have to do the hand weeding at the right time. The weeds are most competitive with our crops during the first third or so of the season. So for maize, for example, the maize has to be kept weed free for about the first 56 days. You can't wait until day 60 and say, okay, I'm gonna go out and pull the weeds now. It's too late. You will have suffered your yield loss due to the weed competition in the first 56 days. So every crop has this time-sensitive period. It's usually early in the season that the crop has to be kept weed-free. So again, this is what they learn on the experimental plots. You've got to do a lot of hand weeding, and you've got to do it early in the season. And this is the problem. This is probably the most important slide I have for you today. We refer to it as the labor bottleneck. These farms in Africa are small, and there are individual fields that are planted to different crops. Farmer goes across the fields planting different crops. And, oh, by the way, now it's time to go back and start hand weeding the first crop that was planted. But planting is still going on. The farmer is taking advantage of the rainy season to plant the crops. The weeding on the first crops that needed to be weeded isn't getting done because the farmer has a labor shortage. Weeding is not done at the optimal time, and the farmer practice really is partial weeding. I call this constraints on timely hand weeding. But in a sense, it really tells us the difference between the experimental plots and the real world. We have a woman who has to clear those weeds off of that field before the crop can be planted. This is not an experimental plot. The women can be too tired, too sick. Malaria is rampant during these seasons. The fields can be muddy. There's competing time demands, child care, elder care, pregnancy. So again, this is constraints on timely hand weeding in the real world, as opposed to the experimental plots, where the researchers do everything exactly when they need to be done. And so this is some of the reasons why the weeding's not getting done. What about men for weeding? This is a group of men hand weeding a groundnut field. Well, male labor for weeding is becoming scarce. There's a lot of off-farm employment where men are sending money back to the farm. A lot of men permanently move from the farms to urban areas. AIDS is taking a terrible toll, and labor is becoming expensive. Labor is scarce, and it's becoming expensive. Now, some of the factoids that we pulled out of the literature and that are in our report, for example, in Malawi, a country that's been discussed by the previous speaker, one-third of the area planted to maize by smallholders is either not weeded at all or weeded too late to prevent yield loss. So I showed you the sea of grass there in the maize field. Well, that's reality for about a third of the maize acres in Malawi. The farmers simply do not get back to weed it at all or weed it too late. One effect of this labor shortage is that farmers often don't plant all their fields. We've seen estimates that the area cultivated may be reduced by 50%. A farmer looks out and says, I'm only going to plant those fields that I know I've got enough labor to hand weed. And in that case, you're looking at perhaps not even planting half of their fields. So you start to talk about a constraint on crop production if you don't even plant the fields because you don't have enough labor for hand weeding. That's a severe constraint, obviously, on crop production. So in the literature, you're looking at estimates between 25% and 100% losses due to weeds. You don't weed a rice crop, you're going to lose that crop. There are instances of crop failure, fields being abandoned, run over by weeds. And the majority of farmers identify weeds as the biggest constraint on their farming operations. Now, we've heard a lot of discussion at this conference about fertilizers. And some estimates in the literature that I've seen about, well, how many smallholders throughout Africa are actually using fertilizers? Darren Twomley estimate about 5% of smallholder farmers in Africa are actually using inorganic fertilizers, and the rates that they use are far less than the rates that are recommended, 50 kilograms per hectare instead of 250 to 350 kilograms. So there could be, there's lots of room for expanding fertilizer use, as we've heard. Fertilizer has been talked about for 40 years, and it's 5%. One of the reasons I'm going to discuss is the labor intensity of applying fertilizers. This photo from a publication released at the Africa Fertilizer Summit in 2005. Very labor-intensive application of fertilizer granules. Again, you can see the connection. If you don't have enough labor to weed your fields, to plant your fields, you're going to have labor constraints on applying fertilizer. And in fact, that's what we argue in our paper, that the benefits of applying fertilizer are dependent upon weed control. Weeds are really good at absorbing nutrients. That's why they're weeds. They can outcompete the crops for the fertilizers. If you don't control the weeds, all you're going to get with more fertilizer is more weeds. And so what we've seen is a reluctance of farmers to use fertilizers because they know that there's going to be more demand for weeding. And oh, by the way, there's demand for time just to apply the fertilizer. And so this labor bottleneck, this concept that there is a shortage of rural laborers for agricultural purposes in sub-Saharan Africa, is really the crux of the matter in terms of being a constraint on fertilizers and weeding and planting. And yet we argue that these two technologies need to go hand in hand, that if the fertilizer benefits are going to be dependent on the weed control benefits. So I'll talk now about the spraying of chemical herbicides as an alternative to hand weeding. So here we have an applicator with protective gear on spraying an herbicide down a row of maize plants. It's going to kill all the weeds and not harm the maize plants, remove the weeds. You can use herbicides to kill all the weeds in this field before planting. No need for hand labor in this field. This applicator will spray a pound of an herbicide out there, all the weeds will be killed before planting. And that's what's happened in this field. You see all the dying vegetation behind this farmer. An herbicide was used. It took 2 hours to apply the herbicide per hectare, saving 60 hours of labor for hand weeding. So immediately you can begin to see the rationale for using herbicides, the tremendous savings in labor time, particularly early in the season, get all the weeds off the field with just 2 hours of labor. Herbicides also have residual power. So you see an applicator spraying an herbicide on a bare piece of ground. There are no weeds there. There is no crop there. And the chemical will be put in the soil where it will stay active for weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. Many of the chemical herbicides for maize will stay active in the soil. And all the germinating weed seeds then will be killed. And so this is a residual power of herbicides. And you can see that kind of power in this picture of cotton in Africa, where the herbicides were applied here in the foreground. You don't see any weeds, you just see healthy cotton plants. In the background, you see untreated weeds throughout the cotton. The difference is 254 hours of labor. That's what you would have needed to pull all the weeds by hand from a hectare of cotton versus using the herbicide spray, where again, you're weed-free for the first 4 to 6 weeks, those critical first 4 to 6 weeks. But again, only about 3% of African smallholders are using herbicides. Again, this has been discussed in the literature since the 1960s. Many articles have been published about the potential, and yet just over 3% African smallholders are using them. And this quotation is based on a study, a field work that was done and funded by the Rockefeller Foundation back in 1999. With maize farmers in Kenya, and they said farmers are absolutely convinced that herbicides would work, but what they need is training. It's a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of training, it's a lack of weed science education and stewardship of how do you take care of the products, how do you spray them. If there were applicators and extension service agents who knew about these methods, they could train the farmers, just as farmers have been trained throughout the world to use this technology. And researchers time and time again have concluded that if farmers are given the technical support, they will use the technology. So what we've begun is a project with an organization known as CNFA that works with agro dealers in Africa. And in 2008 through 2010, we were given access to agro dealer locations in Malawi, Kenya, and Tanzania to do herbicide demonstration trials. And member companies such as Monsanto and BASF, Bayer, provided technical financial support, donated product. So this is one of our field days in Malawi in groundnuts, over 3,000 farmers visiting the plots. Again, there are a lot of these field demonstrations with herbicides. We're not the only ones doing this, but just tremendous interest in seeing these plots. And the farmers don't need to see R-squares, they don't need regression analysis, they see the plots, in this case, maize plots where no hand weeding was used, and the herbicides just cleaned all the weeds out, and the yield was 26% higher, 150 hours of hand weeding was eliminated, and the costs were 50% lower. The herbicides cost less than hand weeding in Africa at this time. This is one of the plots that we supported. So with our project, we're going forward with an education and outreach campaign. We feel that the weed problem has been overlooked in a lot of the international assessments that have been made about smallholders in Africa. We will expand our demonstration trials to additional countries. We're looking at U.S. weed science volunteers to go to Africa and work on these plots. And probably the most important thing we're looking at is building up the weed science community in Africa. There are more weed scientists in the state of California than there are in all of sub-Saharan Africa. They do not have the weed science societies, they don't have the education, they don't have the extension support for weed science. Just putting aside the issue of herbicides, just basic knowledge about ecology of weeds and methods of control. So just to summarize, in our report, we estimate what the current practice is for weed control in sub-Saharan Africa. We believe that there are 135 million hectares that are being weeded by 135 million women. There's essentially one woman per hectare whose job it is to go out and get rid of the weeds. And they spend a lot of time. They spend about 200 hours per hectare. That's 27 billion hours. That's a lot of labor. It's a lot of drudgery, but it's not enough. They should be spending 400 hours per hectare to get optimal weed control. So that's why you're getting the 20 to 100% yield loss. Because 200 hours in a hectare is simply not enough, or it's not being done at the right time. What's 100 million hectares, just to give you an idea of the magnitude of what we're talking about when we look at that map of Africa? 100 million hectares equals all of our acreage in the United States of maize, wheat, sorghum, soybeans, and cotton. And you know, if you drive across Illinois, Indiana, and you see those maize fields stretching the horizon, we use tractors, we use herbicides. And in Africa, they have the same number of acres that we have, and what they're doing is they have small fields and they're being managed with hand tools for weed control. So we believe that herbicide use in Africa would increase crop production right off the bat by 20 to 50% because it would improve weed control in the fields. We believe that there's more potential because more fields would be planted. And we believe that better weed control would lead to increased fertilization. All of this material, the report that we've written, the slideshows, videos, and summaries of our field plot work in Africa are available on our website. Thank you.
So do we have any questions? Yes.
I have a quick question. In regard to the last speaker, and I'm sure this applies to fertility as well, but although you can calculate or estimate how much money the hand labor costs, you know, in dollar terms, it's probably not thought of it in that way. How do you overcome the disconnect between the monetary value of the hand labor and the cost of the herbicides in this case, and to incentivize the use of it?
Right. There are a couple ways to think about this. A lot of the labor is assumed to be free. It's family labor. It's not monetized, and so it's assumed to be free. But there's such a constraint on the farming activities that what farmers realize is so all the other things they could be doing if they didn't tie up all that free labor in their hand weeding. And so we think that there are probably 25% of the farm families who are progressive enough, who understand these kind of concepts, who, if they were given the right support, they would adopt this technology. So again, it's an educational activity, but again, seeing the benefits, seeing what more you can do, and like I say, there's probably a quarter of the families who get it and are ready to go.
Now there, I had a comment I wanted to make, but yeah, go ahead in the back.
Different places.
Right, yeah, I would have loved to have done this country specific. The problem is as I mentioned, there's so few weed scientists that you never get a thorough discussion of the weeds problem for any particular country. And so you borrow a little bit from research in Nigeria, and a little bit from Malawi, a little bit from Kenya, just to sort of cover what you're suggesting. It's really a lot more diverse than that. And what we're arguing is we need the studies country by country. We want to see weed kind of studies, ecology studies, control studies, studies of soils, what are the appropriate herbicides. Each one of those studies should be done country by country. They're not there right now. And so what we're arguing is we need to do that kind of research.
Pedro.
Yeah, I want to make a comment also on the weeds issue because it's seldom really mentioned. You're quite right about that. A couple of comments. First is that you are also very right when you said that a lot of fields are not used because they're too weedy. Actually, we've seen an increase in cropland uses in very smallholder farms now that they have the chance to put the fertilizers and improve seeds that they do weed. So that's one point, that there's a lot of abandoned land that is not used, that can be used, and it's major. Even in postage stamp fields in top of Rwanda or something. The second point is that when you're waiting for a yield, for getting a yield of 1 ton per hectare, it's very, very different from when you're going to control weeds for about 3 tons per hectare or so. There's some things that are going to justify the investment, and it's going to be a totally different story. Certainly, you'll get a lot more shade, and we have found this with going from 1 to 5 tons per hectare of maize. The intercrop beans underneath don't make it, and the weeds don't make it either. So I would urge your organization and those that are pushing herbicides not to look at what's happening now. And many of your quotes were in the 1990s or before 2005. And let's look now at the future. Let's look now how the green revolution that is happening and is inexorable. It's not over the tipping point yet. Where do we have the best wheat science? And a lot of that has to do with the issue of conservation of tillage, which is pushed a lot in Africa, and there are huge pluses and huge minuses, but they all involve herbicides, without a doubt.
Right.
So I would look for a higher yield level and aiming at conservation of tillage.
Right. Yeah, and looking toward the future, I mean, one of the things we've looked at for example, the discussion on the subsidies. You know, fertilizers are being subsidized, seeds are being subsidized. Let's begin the discussions, and they already have begun about, let's have herbicides being subsidized. Let's have them as part of the toolbox, you know, just like they were here in the United States and throughout the rest of the world. Everybody else throughout the rest of the world, 90-95% of the acres are treated with herbicides. And on large-scale farming operations in Africa, plantations, large government type operations, they all have agronomists, they're treated with herbicides. These are the farmers who are not getting the support, they're not even being allowed to make the choice because they don't have effective support. So as we look toward the future, all we're saying is don't leave weed control and don't leave herbicides out of the toolbox.
I'd like to just add a couple of comments. I actually did fair amount of work with weeds. I'm not a weed scientist, but I'm a soil ecologist and agronomist, and I certainly keep weeds in the picture. I actually did work in Malawi where this labor problem has always been there, where we were able to control weeds just using fertilizer. It was kind of like Pedro says, if you have a good enough stand of maize and you do everything at the right time, the farmers are extremely interested in that. But a couple of things I wanted to mention that includes farmers here is herbicides are much trickier than fertilizers to deal with. For instance, the push towards including legumes into this system can be very limited depending on the, you know, not a burn down herbicide or even there possibly depending on the system. But you certainly have to worry about can I intercrop beans, as most of the maize fields when you get out in them, they're actually intercropped. And herbicides are going to cause, broadleaf herbicide will cause a lot of problems with that. And then you have some residual effects for for legumes that might come on. We find the same thing here with our modern farm, you know, in the U.S., where farmers that are, of course, they're using herbicides, but now they want to use cover crops, and they're finding that the herbicide programs can constrain the diversity and the use of cover crops. And finally, with this, the fact that there's a labor constraint, it's a good thing not to plant all your acreage if you don't have enough labor to do it right. But the nice thing that I don't think we've taken advantage of the fact that there are farmers that have these fields that they don't have time to grow things on, and this would be a wonderful place to introduce legumes in a rotation because they can be done with very little labor and left on their own, and so that time of the non-used field could actually be greatly improving the crop yields when they come back to it. So it's not at all a simple thing. I think there's certainly places for herbicides, especially where you're trying to do conservation tillage. But otherwise, it can be a very complicated thing to introduce into village agriculture.
Well, one of the issues about interplanting beans or with maize, there are herbicides, and we use them widely in the United States, and they're used throughout the world, that both maize and beans tolerate quite nicely. S-metolachlor, alachlor, pentamethylene. And so in the field plots that we were working with, those were the kind of herbicides that were used in interplantings and doing very well with groundnuts, beans, and maize out there in the field. And the tolerance is there, and they're available in small packages. One of the things that we've seen change in the literature and in reality over the last 40 years is that 40 years ago, smallholders would go in to buy some herbicides and they were in very large containers. And now they go into the store and it's a small container that's just the right size for a hectare. And so that's brought the cost down considerably.
One more quick comment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am a weed scientist. And I would say if you're in large scale farming and you're not looking at herbicides, you're probably not serious. How they would apply in this system, I don't know. It's not just that there is herbicide and no herbicide. Right. There's 140 herbicides.
Right.
So there is a matter of rotation and crop. Sure. There's technology transfer, but you know the idea that they wouldn't apply to the system out of hand, I think is probably the wrong suggestion. You'd have to look at them and fit them into the system. In large-scale herbicides, or large-scale agriculture in developed countries, that is the way you do weed control, period.
Yeah. We think that herbicides will probably lead to the increase in the size of farms. We believe it may also lead to mechanization. We did interviews with companies trying to introduce small tractors, and that's only justified if the field's larger. And the farmers wouldn't do it because they didn't have a way of weeding the additional acreage. And so, you know, if you want tractors in there, if you want the fields to get bigger, we say solve the weed problem.